You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition with analyst Richard Pollock and your host, Drew Mindell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets continued their strong play on home ice tonight, defeating the league-leading Minnesota Wild in a very entertaining 2-1 contest. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the MTS Center press box by my colleague on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Richard Pollock. Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg are down in the various dressing rooms collecting audio that you'll hear at the end of this post-game podcast. Richard, good evening. Another entertaining game for the crowd at MTS Center.
Yeah, Drew, you know what? The crowd at MTS is empowering this team, I think, to play maybe above its head. The crowd tonight was once again in the game, especially in the second and third periods. And tonight was another, you know, third period victory and another 2 points in the standings.
Exactly right. You know, a game that could have gone any way. It was really a tight checking, low-scoring game, as you'd expect from the Minnesota Wild. They don't score a lot, but they don't make any mistakes either. It was a back-and-forth game. Each team controlled the flow at various points in the contest, but the Jets did come away with that all-important 2-1 victory and move to 5-1 on home ice in this lengthy stretch of games at home in the month of December.
You know, Drew, you're exactly right, and I leaned over to you with about 10 minutes left in the game, and I said, you know, Minnesota doesn't beat themselves. You have to beat them, and obviously they got a penalty call.
Yeah.
And the Jets took advantage of it on the power play, and I think that was very important. As Pierre-Marc Bouchard skates off here, it seems to be late, I don't know where he was, but...
Yeah,
I think there's an ambulance. That's where they usually have an ambulance area.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
So it appears Bouchard's on the ice now. What time is it now? It is
10:20.
About 10:20, so it's been probably about 30, 40 minutes. Or 20 minutes since the game.
20 minutes. Game ended around 10 o'clock.
And appears he's been taken care of now. He was the recipient of a hit we'll speak about a little bit later. But back to the point in terms of, you know, Minnesota, they don't beat themselves. And tonight, kind of, they did with the penalty, but I'm talking about their play on the ice. The Jets took advantage. They had a power play goal, which we'll speak about. And when you can... beat, you know, you have to play in these tight games, and the Jets have proven that they can play in the tight games. We've spoken about it many times now on this podcast, you know, and on the radio show. They beat Phoenix, they beat New Jersey, teams that New Jersey style was somewhat similar, I think, to Minnesota's, a little bit different, but fairly similar and a little more aggressive than people think. But the Jets have been able to play against those teams. They've had more trouble with teams like Detroit and maybe Ottawa, a little more
freewheeling.
Yeah,
exactly right. No scoring in the opening period here. Sort of a well-played period.
Yeah,
you know, both teams had their chances, but it was nothing, you know, nothing to write home about. It was just sort of a quote-unquote basic NHL period. Jets outshot the Wild 10-7 in that first period. Nothing about it was memorable, though.
No, the Jets outchanced them too. I thought the Jets took the period to them, but it wasn't by a substantial margin, really. I thought the pace was pretty smooth. There wasn't much in the way of penalties, if any.
There was three penalties in the first period.
So I mean, it wasn't penalty ridden period, and there's a lot of 5-on-5 play, and I thought the flow generally was in the Jets' favor, but wasn't significant by a significant margin.
No, certainly not. Wasn't anything to write home about. Worth noting in terms of roster moves for the Jets coming into tonight's game, it was expected that the Jets were going to have to ice 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Lo and behold, as we get up into the press box, a late scratch was Randy Jones, and a late addition to the lineup was Eric Fair, which was not expected. Fair played on the line to start the game with Kyle Wellwood and with Andrew Ladd, but by the end of the game, he had been moved off of that line. He played 6 minutes and 24 seconds in this contest. What do you think about the move of taking Randy Jones out of the lineup and keeping Mark Flood in there as your... You would sort of figure those two would be somewhat interchangeable defensemen.
Yeah, I would think that that's likely due, Drew, to the fact that Flood can play the right side. He's a younger guy. He can play the right side, and they threw Hainsey back there today. So they tried to keep the pairings similar, and you want to keep maybe a right-handed shot in there and have Bufflin, Bogosian, and Flood ride the right side. Flood wasn't bad, wasn't great, but I have no problems with that move. I kind of like playing the younger guy. You know what you know. Jones, in the big scheme of things, is on a one-year deal. Is he a significant upgrade over Flood? Not necessarily. They're a little bit different, but I have no issues with that.
Yeah, just what is most people came into the game expecting that 11 forwards and 7 defensemen, which didn't end up materializing.
That appears to be a psych.
Yeah, the one thing about Eric Fair, I talked to Dave, and when he spoke with Fair earlier this morning, Fair said he wasn't going to play. So you have to believe that he's still not 100%, which, you know, could explain his exceptionally low minutes.
Yeah, and his ineffective minutes at that, too. He played about 6 minutes, and obviously they're related to each other, meaning,
right.
You know, he plays 6 minutes because he's not playing overly effectively, and I didn't notice him at all in a positive manner. He had a couple plays where he fell down and lost the puck, and, you know, he's obviously playing injured, and he's obviously far away from the form he had reached in Washington maybe 2 years ago now. And so you have to think at this point in time, especially with the acquisition of Antti Mietinen this afternoon,
which we'll talk about later on the show,
that the Jets now have different things in mind for the right side, and whatever they get from Fair
is a bonus.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a bonus for the rest of the year. Wild opened the scoring at the 4:39 mark of the second period. Guillaume Lataille-Dress on the power play, assists coming to Mikko Koivu and Danny Heatley. It was a 5-on-3 for the Wild after the Jets took one legitimate penalty, I thought, and then a second penalty that was a bit of a chintzy call by the official.
It was a chintzy call, Drew. The goal itself was a rotation by Koivu and Healy at the top of the probably ringette, a little bit above the ringette line, because on a 5-on-3, the triangle is lower.
Yeah.
It was a slap shot, one timer off a rotation. Pavlik made the save, but he kind of made a Mike Richter-esque save back in the 90s save. He didn't butterfly it over, meaning he didn't push off square to the puck. He dive to the left with his pads in the air. He made a nice save, but considering it was a 5-on-3 and the rebound popped right in front, and Guillaume Lataille-Dress, who I actually thought played a very stellar game his first game back, I think in 15 from a concussion, he was noticeably effective tonight, and he made a nice tap and rebound for the first goal of the game.
Yeah, Jets at that point in time, it was, with the way Minnesota cracks down, really doesn't let very many scoring opportunities, and the way Nicklas Backstrom had been playing, because he'd made a number of really nice saves in the first half of the game, he thought maybe one goal is going to be enough for Minnesota on this night. It took the Jets a little under 4 minutes to tie the game. Zach Bogosian, after really one of the Jets' best forechecking, best shifts of the year, and that's I don't say that with any light regard. It was just a very good shift. They were able to get a line change in while the puck was still deep in Minnesota territory. So you had a very tired Minnesota Wild defense and forwards on the ice. Zach Bogosian from the point, unassisted, really just blasted past Nicklas Backstrom for his first of the year.
You know what exactly? I thought you said it exactly right there, Drew. The period of the Wild scoring and then the Jets scoring, that period of time was the Jets' best portion of the game, I thought. They consistently took the puck to Minnesota. They're physical. They were rotating the puck. They were getting shots on net. They deserved to score there. It was a goal from afar, a hard shot by Bogosian, obviously, his first goal of the year. He's got a howitzer, and he can hit the net. He'll get more goals. But it was just sustained pressure. And the Jets deserved to even the score there.
It was a couple minutes before that when Jets were still on the penalty kill, because it was a 5-on-3 that Minnesota scored on, Brian Little, really deked out Nicklas Backstrom, had the wide open net and just slid it through the crease. And so the Jets really did put the pressure on the Wild for that period of time.
And that goal was obviously attributable to Little's skill, but also attributable to Andrew Ladd. I think that was probably in the scouting report, Drew. The Wild were carrying the puck up the ice on the power play with the defenseman. I believe it might have been Scandella there. Carried the puck up the ice, and what they were doing was the drop pass to a supporting forward who was going to come up with speed. What Ladd did was Ladd met Scandella right when he was going to make the drop pass. Scandella wasn't able to do so. The puck popped out, if I recall correctly, Little right around the red line, and Little uses speed to break around. I forget who the defender was there.
Coming down the right hand side of Backstrom.
Right, left side. His left side, Backstrom's right side, pulled it back to his back end and just slid it across the crease. But that was a combined beautiful play by both Little and Ladd. You know, that's one of those things where Ladd maybe not get the credit, but he deserved in terms of in the paper the next day.
Sure.
But that's a play that coaches notice and GMs and scouts certainly notice.
Little and Ladd have turned into one of the Jets. They're probably the Jets' top penalty-killing unit. They've been very impressive together on the PK. I mean, usually you also see Slater and Glass out there. Jets' PK has been doing a very nice job lately.
Has, and Glass has blocked a key shot near the end of the game. Obviously, Slater and Little's face-off ability makes them even better penalty killers.
Right.
One thing about that Little play, Ladd actually had raised his arms.
He did. Because it was a wide open net. It was surprising that Little didn't score there.
And then one other thing, you talked about Minnesota scoring. I actually thought the Jets had really picked up the intensity majorly right after that goal. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the shift. that you said was the best shift of the year. I think the crowd really helped pump up. That was absolutely one of the louder Go Jets Go chants of the night.
It was. And when you give this crowd something to cheer about, they go crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. They just want a little tiny little hint of good effort, and they like to stand up, and they're not afraid of they're not shy about making their feelings heard. That was it for scoring in the second period. After 40 minutes, the shots on net where are they here? After 40 minutes, the shots on net were 22 for the Wild, 19 for the Jets, and there was a one-all tie going after 40 minutes. Third period, very much sort of like the first period, and really the whole game. Back and forth, good scoring opportunities by both teams. TSN turning point came when the Wild took a penalty. Clayton Stoner took a penalty, one of those unintentional flip the puck over the net, over the boards while you're in your own zone. 2 minutes, you know, the rule's the rule, and you might as well take advantage of it, and the Winnipeg Jets did.
And that was, you know, making the Wild beat themselves. That was a penalty, but not a penalty that generally has the same kind of intent, so to speak, as the other penalties do. Not that you ever intend to take a penalty, but, you know,
it's one of those penalties. You take that and you feel sick for taking that
penalty. That's right. And if not for that, it probably would have been gone to a shootout, you know, at least overtime, I think, because there was not much in the way of chances in that period, aside from on the power plays. So, Drew, that was, you know, an inadvertent play, and it led to...
It led to Brian Little's 11th goal of the year on the power play, assist coming to Dustin Byfuglien and Blake Wheeler. Really, play started by Wheeler. It was, you know, set up. The Jets were setting up on the power play. Wheeler is on the left faceoff dot.
Yes, a little bit higher than that.
A little bit higher than that, actually. Probably the top of the left circle. Cross ice pass to Dustin Byfuglien. Yes. Byfuglien really, it looked like he was attempting the one timer on the shot.
Yeah,
missed the net badly. Brian Little's standing at the left side of the crease. Puck is right on the stick, right into the empty cage. No chance for Nicklas Backstrom. You know, an unintentional miss that turns out to be a game-winning assist.
I don't know if Michael thinks about that. I thought it was probably a one-timer, gone a little bit awry.
I thought he missed it. But I actually really liked Blake Wheeler on that play. I mean, coming into the year, we thought he was going to be a goal scorer. And he's a bigger guy, but I don't think he plays like a big guy at all.
He plays
like Kyle Wellwood, but he's really big. Like, he's not very physical. He's got good speed, good hands, and he was very patient there with the puck and saw Byfuglien streaking in and hit him with a beautiful pass.
What happens, we talk about the Wild beating themselves, and you know, you remember the first goal, kind of a shot from the point, no defensive breakdown really. The second goal on the PK, again, the Wild very, very stringent defensively.
Very good 5-on-5.
If I recall, very good 5-on-5. And I recall correctly, Kyle Brodziak was at the weak side, was the weak side forward on the box on the penalty kill. And Brodziak was going to rotate down because Wheeler had the puck and he was eyeing the seam pass, which is what he got through. And Brodziak was eyeing to go down. He was just a second late. And because he was a second late, the pass got through to Byfuglien. And then Byfuglien got it over, whether it was intentional or not, to Little. And the puck was in. It's literally, you know, it's just this.
The game of inches.
It's a game of inches. And if Brodziak rotates down a second early, because he'd rather give away the shot at, you know, if he's on the weak side, he'd rather give away the shot to the right defenseman, you know, rotating back than he would to, you know, to a cutter, right? Because Byfuglien's cutting down. He'd rather rotate down and make Byfuglien come back up to get the puck. And what happened was he was a little bit high. Byfuglien cheated down and he beat him. And that's that one play that makes a difference in 2 points or nothing.
That was at the 15-minute mark of the third period, so 5 minutes to go. Very similar to the Boston game from a couple weeks ago. Yep. Crowd is going crazy on their feet, cheering like mad people. And the Jets really had 5 minutes that they had to hold on for, and they were able to do so. But it was not without having a little bit of trouble. And I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Bogosian got a phone call from NHL disciplinarian czar Brendan Shanahan.
It wasn't the worst hit we've ever seen, but I thought it was a dirty hit. You know, you have to take into
account...
Certainly
wasn't an intentionally dirty hit.
No, and you have to take into account that Pierre-Marc Bouchard's not a big guy. I mean, we've seen he just skated off him. 5-10 minutes ago, so about 10 minutes ago, I'd say. So he's been in the hallway there for a while. Now, Bogosian's a strong guy. Pierre-Marc Bouchard is not a strong player, but Bogosian's hit this year, earlier in the year, may be a contributing factor to any decision made. Well, will be a contributing factor to any decision made.
What happened was Pierre-Marc Bouchard had the puck behind the Jets' net. Bogosian's defending him, so you know Bouchard's got his back to him. Or sort of is twisting with the puck. Bouchard comes back, but he's got his back to Bogosian. Bogosian, you know, boards him.
He does.
You know, Bouchard hits his face on the dasher, leaves a trail of blood that is still on the ice here at the MTS Center. You can still see the droplets of blood. Probably, you know, it certainly cut his face, maybe broke his nose, something along those lines. Bogosian gets 5 in a game for the boarding penalty, and the Wild take to the power play with 1:06 left to go. They pulled the goalie, so they had a 6-on-4 to end the game.
Which led to Andre Pavlik's save of the game.
Absolutely.
Game saver.
Just an absolutely huge save. I'm not sure. I don't specifically recall who was on. But the Wild, of course, on the power play, a 6-on-4 power play, had some very good scoring opportunities. Yeah. And the Jets were able to hold on thanks to Andre Pavlik making his best save of the night when it counted the most.
And I'm forgetting who was on the ice, Drew. I remember Scandella was, Heatley was,
Koivu was,
Clutterbuck was.
Yeah. Latondress.
Koivu was, and then Latondress. You know, they actually had a pass earlier to Clutterbuck across the seam, too. Clutterbuck is a hitter, and he gets goals banging him. But the problem is when you have a guy like that on the top of the circle who can't one-time the puck,
that's right.
You know, that's the thing that hurts Minnesota. Their natural scoring ability hurts them, and I don't know if it was Heatley who he robbed. I think it was a left-handed shot, but
if it's anybody on that team besides Clutterbuck who's got that one-timer there, he's got the entire cage because Pavlik. I mean, he has to go across the ice
on the counterpoint. Maybe that pass isn't available if it's not Clutterbuck.
Right? Again, very true. Exactly right. You know, they could be. They defend according to who they have to play against. Jets hold on for that 2-1 victory here against the Minnesota Wild tonight, and as our Twitter feed @IllegalCurve was lighting up, the Jets are now known as the Streak Busters. They did it against the Bruins, and now they did it against the Wild.
You know, the Bruins game obviously is a little more an impressive victory. I thought that Minnesota comes into today's game as an NHL leading team, and I think that is soon to not be the case. Backstrom came in and met expectations, but this team overall has played a tremendously effective system game under Mike Yeo, but talent-wise, they're not in the realm of many of the other teams we've seen come through town yet.
They're going to be there. They're going to be a playoff team just because they seem so disciplined and they seem so well coached.
You know what, Drew? That's true probably because you need to beat them and they won't beat themselves. I keep saying that, but it's true. I mean, it's like Phoenix. Teams like that can, if you're not mentally focused, and you know, back-to-back games, travel, things like that contribute to the lack of mental focus, especially some young teams. Those teams are going to come in, steal 2 points, and get out of here.
Absolutely right. I mean, there's, you know, the Minnesota Wild are a good team, and the Jets see them one more time in February in Minnesota.
Yes. Yep.
So they are
15th, I believe.
Yeah, they are one of the few teams that the Jets play. One of the few Western Conference teams the Jets play home and away
this year. That's them and Phoenix, and I forget who else. It is an at-large game,
that's
meaning
right.
They have the choice, and I'm not sure if they're going to have that flex option in the new schedule. But we'll talk about that later on.
Before we wrap up tonight, a couple minutes on Antti Miettinen, who the Jets acquired off of waivers today. He was playing in the KHL with whatever team in the KHL. Tampa Bay signed him to a 2-year, $3 million contract. Mm-hmm. Because he was in the KHL, he has to clear waivers before he can come play for Tampa. Jets didn't let him. Jets put in a claim for him. He's now Winnipeg Jets property. 2 years, $3 million. What does Antti Miettinen bring to this team?
Well, I think it's actually ironic that Kyle Wellwood. Same thing happened to him 2 years ago. I believe he signed with St. Louis, and then San Jose claimed him.
That's right.
So from the KHL,
which is exactly what happened again last year with Evgeny Nabokov.
Him as well.
He got signed, and the Islanders
Detroit,
claimed him.
Right, and then the Islanders claimed him. But what does he bring to the table, Drew? He's a tweener, and I tweeted that. And what I mean by that is he's a. You know, it's probably a third line winger who's played top 6 minutes because of the lack of viable options that Minnesota's had.
He played
in Minnesota last year and for a couple years before that, and then Dallas before that. He's he played with Mikko Koivu, and I said again in the tweet, if you can't score with Mikko Koivu on your center, then you're not a big scorer. I've seen him play. He doesn't have a great shot.
He'll fit in well with this team.
Yeah, doesn't have a great shot, but you know, he's mature. He's a responsible player, defensively, offensively, good along the boards. You know, he wasn't employed in a significant defensive role, meaning not a ton of power play time. He's played penalty kill time. He's played penalty kill in the past, but he was the seventh most used penalty killer on forward last year for Minnesota. So there were six more guys used more often than he was.
Sure,
I'm assuming especially when healthy, because I think some guys like Madden missed some games. But you know, he's gonna. Now, if you play 80 games and he's playing in a scoring role, he's a 35 to 40 point player. Ideally, you want him in a third line role, and I mentioned this again on the tweet. You know, you slide him into the right side with Glass and Slater because Thorburn really hasn't produced offensively. He would help. You know,
I thought Thorburn played one of his better games tonight.
And I like what Chris Thorburn brings to the table, responsible defensively. But I think you'd fit in well there. He'd fit in well if you need him to toss him up to the top six role. He can play there. For 2 years, $1.5 million per.
And it doesn't cost you anything in terms of assets.
Exactly. I thought it was a fine pickup. I thought it was a nice move by Kevin Cheveldayoff. And I don't really see much downside. If he doesn't work, you can certainly deal him, in my opinion.
There you go. Antti Miettinen is in Finland, expected to be to join the Jets, if not Thursday, then for Saturday's Teemu Selänne game.
And I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to this because we haven't spoken to Miettinen. But as a young Finnish player, probably in his early 30s now, I would assume he looked up to Teemu Selänne as a youngster and looked up to him as a Winnipeg Jet, so it might have some extra sentimental value for Miettinen to be his first game on Saturday.
Sure, exactly. I mean, Finnish hockey players name two players. They name Jari Kurri, right, and they name Teemu Selänne. Right. Those are the icons in the 80s and the 90s. Right. Apologies to Esa Tikkanen. Anyways, that's it for the Illegal Curve postgame podcast here from the MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets defeated the Minnesota Wild 2-1. We'll be back Thursday night following the Jets Capitals game,
yes,
divisional rival game, see if the Jets can continue their hot play on home ice. Remember to listen to the Illegal Curve hockey show Saturdays from noon to 3 on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And of course, the website is www.illegalcurve.com. From our lips to your ears, thanks for listening. Have a good night.
That was the first part of the podcast. Now we're at the second part. As usual, Dave Mnookin and Ezra Ginsberg headed into the Wild and Jets dressing room to get reaction from the players. First up, Dave went into the Jets dressing room and he talked to the guy who scored the game-winning goal, Brian Little.
Forth, and you kind of had a feeling that it was going to be low scoring the way both the goalies were playing. So, you know, it's one of those games that, you know, feels really good to win, especially after that game in Detroit we had.
Did Bufflin pass that to you, or was that a shot?
I don't know. I think everyone in the rink thought he was going to shoot it, but, you know, I was a little nervous when he put it in my skates because I missed a few chances early in the game, but it was a great play by him.
Another game at home that you guys close out in the third period. How much confidence are you guys playing with here?
A lot of confidence. I think at the start of the year, that's kind of the thing we struggled with, was closing teams out and winning that third period. You know, we kind of let teams back in the game at the start of the year. And, you know, now I think we got to figure it out how we have to play in the third period.
You're pretty snake bit there. Missed a couple of chances. And then what's it feel like when you do cash in?
Yeah, it's one of those games that, you know, it felt like, you know, I was missing everything. I had one early in the game where I went right through the crease, and, you know, another where the goalie made a great glove save. And it's one of those things that, you know, it didn't feel like I was going to be my night, but, you know, it happened late in the game. We're off a great pass.
Wheeler is starting to really distribute well, and Kane is always kind of in the right spots. How good are you guys feeling as a line right now?
Great. I feel like we're clicking a lot, and, you know, Wheeler's playing unbelievable. You don't often hear his name, but, you know, he's setting up plays. He's making great plays for us, and that especially showed on the last goal there. And, you know, Kaner's always playing well. He's always skating and shooting. So, you know, I just feel like our line's playing real well right now. Oh, it's huge. I think it proves to teams that, you know, we're up there and we can play with the best teams in the league, and especially in our arena. You know, we wanted to make this a tough arena to come play, and, you know, to beat those teams in our building, you know, is huge for the confidence.
Talk this morning about needing to bounce back. What does this kind of
bounce back? I think it shows everyone that, you know, what kind of character we have. I think that was a tough game in Detroit, and to lose 7-1 to a team like that, it was, you know, frustrating. No one was happy about it. And, you know, I think we kind of made a statement tonight that, you know, we can bounce back after a game like that.
Another game winner for you. How does that
happen? Great. You know, it's feels like things are just going my way right now. Everything's going in for me.
Next guy who Dave talked to, he had the controversial hit on Pierre-Marc Bouchard at the end. I'm just going to give my quick thoughts on that hit. I really thought Bouchard had a great game. He's had some concussion history in the past, and really felt bad for him on that play, possibly bringing his nose spewing blood onto the ice. So I'm very curious what Zach Bogosian has to say about that. You know, he may be speaking with Shanahan in the future, so here he is, Zach Bogosian.
You know, it's definitely feels good to get that, that goal, and more important, the win.
How about the game overall?
I thought it was good. We battled hard. I think both teams had their chances, and Pav made some big saves for us. So he gives us a chance to win every night, and he did tonight again.
Both play the same kind of style. How important was it to just win this game and end their streak once again?
Yeah, it was big. I mean, they're a good team, obviously. They're high up in the standings. I think that you know, anytime you can beat a team like that, it, you know, it just kind of gives your team that much more confidence.
Your thoughts on the hit?
I haven't even seen it yet, so I don't want to comment on it.
And this is the guy who gets the loudest cheers consistently at MTS Center. He made an amazing save at the end to rob the Wild of a potential overtime. Here he is, number 31, Andre Pavlich.
Big win today.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after the Detroit game. We battled so hard tonight, and, you know, it's a great, great 2 points for us, and it wasn't easy. It's a really tough team to play against, and they all have good players, especially on the power play, and last minute we did a great job. The guys in front of me blocked all our shots, and we deserved to win, but it was a very close game, and, you know, I think we learned how to win those games, and a huge goal in the power play, and 5 minutes left, and so it's big. I think Wash lost tonight, so it's a big win for us. Well, you know what? I lost. You mean when you? Which one?
The breakaway.
Oh, the breakaway. I know him a little bit from Montreal. I train in Montreal during the summer, and sometimes he go on the ice with us. And I kind of knew he's not gonna shoot, so I was trying to stay with him and stay with the puck, and that's exactly what he did.
It's very hard to stay patient. You waited.
Yeah, in that save, I was waiting, and finally made a save. But those two bad saves. I mean, I didn't want it, but just made it and made a save. But like I said, I knew him a little bit, and I expect he's gonna do that, and he's got pretty good hands. He's a really good player, so I was trying to be patient and waiting for him.
How much confidence you guys have playing at home?
I think it's a huge. I said so many times that the team who wants to make a playoffs have to win at home and in their buildings, and you know the fans here are unbelievable, and they deserve great efforts every night, and I think we start to feel comfortable here, and they support us all year, and that's a huge for us.
Did you see the Bogosian hit?
No, absolutely not. I didn't see. I just saw the blood on the ice, but. Referee saw it. I didn't see it, so I have nothing to say about it.
What the difference in your game from Saturday?
You know, we play against Detroit, which is a pretty good team and one of the best, and with the best players in the lineups. But we battle. I think we battle tonight all game long. And you know, sometimes happen. We didn't play well last game, but this game was. We play outstanding all 60 minutes, battle hard on the board, and we scored a power play goal 5 minutes left. So we scored a goal in the right times, and it was a huge for us tonight.
I just want to talk about Mikko Koivu for a second. Not only was he one of the better picks on my fantasy team, I can thank the IC Fantasy Preview for that. I thought he had a great game. I was surprised at how strong he was on the puck. He's very tough to knock off the puck. Each time he had it, you had the feeling something was going to happen. He's one of the top offensive players on Minnesota, drawing an assist on the power play where him and Healy made a nice play there and switching up. Now we go to the Wild dressing room. This guy scored the first and only goal of the game for the Minnesota Wild. Here's Guillaume Latendresse.
Yeah, it was a pretty good atmosphere. Yeah.
Talk about the goal and just get right back at it.
I think it's always fun to score, but when you lose the game, I think it's... You don't have the same feeling. Even if you haven't played for a month, I think it don't change anything. We lost a 2 point tonight, and yeah.
First game back from the concussion. How did you feel your first game back?
Feel all right. Feel all right. I know I can be way better than that. I think I need to keep working, keep improving.
The next player had a great chance in the third on a cross ice pass to potentially send the game to overtime. One of the best named players in the league, consistently leads the league in hits, Cal Clutterbuck.
your general thoughts on the game tonight?
It's a good game, good pace. I don't think we were near the level we have been, you know, as of late. And, you know, we just, we ended up losing the game because of it.
You guys have had quite a few injuries this year. You guys, especially in defense, a lot of guys have been stepping up. Is that the main reason why you're doing a lot better early this year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think it's just our parts are relatively interchangeable. You know, so guys can come up and do what they do well within our system, and you know, that helps us out tremendously. That's the reason why we are where we are.
The Bogosian went off there at the end, hit from behind. Do you see it? And do you think it was a hit from behind?
I mean, obviously it was a hit from behind. I mean, you could see the trail of blood on the ice. You know, I'd have to look at it again to comment on it, but you know, it's one of those things. You don't want to see that, and it's a tough thing to see, and I really don't know what else to say.
Can you talk about just why you think it didn't occur where they came with speed a lot when you got some? What were you doing wrong?
We were just turning the puck over too much. We just carrying the puck up the wall with not much speed in the offensive zone instead of keeping it below the goal line where we have been, you know, kind of built our game. And, you know, once we got stripped, we got two guys low waiting for a puck down there. And, you know, normally it's what we do. But when we turn pucks over like that, then, you know, it causes them to get some momentum, come at us with speed.
The game, it was as intense as you played this year?
It was a different atmosphere for sure. You know, I think definitely we've got, you know, another, if not two other levels, and we weren't very good, to be honest. All around, I think we were, obviously trying, but we were making a lot of softer plays and kind of uncharacteristic things of us, and I don't think they got our best tonight for sure.
If you like that from Clutterbuck, you can follow his mustache on Twitter. Lastly, it's always great to hear from the coach what he thought of the game. I can see Mike Yao being potentially disappointed in the Clayton Stoner penalty at the end, disappointed in Zach Bogosian's hit on Pierre-Marc Bouchard. And actually, one thing we didn't talk of in the main podcast was Tanner Glass's hit on Greg Zanin, which led him to answer the bell to Clayton Stoner, which we thought that fight was a draw, but that was a questionable hit by Glass on Zanin. I don't think he will suffer any suspension for that, but he had to answer the bell there. I thought that was a reasonable fight. It's actually kind of funny. After, you know, you saw the hit and everyone in the arena goes, ooh, and then, you know, Zanin's D partner Stoner starts hacking at Glass, you know, gives him a little tug on the jersey, which is the universal sign for let's fight. And next thing you know, gloves are flying in the air and these two guys are duking it out right in front of the Wild net. Anyways, I'll stop yammering on here. Without further ado, here's head coach Mike Yao.
First of all, Butch got hit in the head. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. I just know he was going to get patched up there because he was bleeding pretty good.
Pretty frantic pace at a hockey game. A lot of back and forth, a lot of tight checking. I mean, how would you summarize what happened tonight?
I think you pretty much summarized it with the back and forth part, and that's not really indicative of how we've had our success. You know, I thought we were pretty loose in a lot of areas, in particular with how we played with puck. You know, we just led to a little too much open ice for them and a little too much back and forth, as you said. And when you do that, you turn it into a 50-50 game, which is what it was.
The soft plays with the puck, why do you think that was happening?
You know what? I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's, you know, we've played a lot of good games in a row here. And, you know, that's why it's difficult to get on a streak and do what our guys have done, because there does come a time where, you know, like it or not, it's difficult to keep your urgency level up as high as it is and you know, keep the same focus going into every game. And I didn't feel like we had it tonight, but we got a chance to get it back tomorrow.
How did you feel Guillaume played in his first game back?
Well, obviously he scored a goal for us, and I thought he had moments where, you know, he showed us what he can do. But, you know, we put him into a real tough situation, and considering that, I thought he did a very good job.
Quite an atmosphere tonight. The crowd was amazing, and very intense game from start to finish.
Yeah, they pump a lot of noise into that building, that's for sure. And, you know, it was a good atmosphere and good hockey game for the fans' sake, I'm sure, but not the way we like to go about our business.
Do you think this will, you know, set a good tone for a good rivalry coming up once the realignment takes place in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. You know, it's I think that you could see that the two teams don't like each other out there, and I'm sure that the next one will be very interesting as well. They seem to want to get into involved in a lot of scrums and stuff like that after the whistle, and so we'll, you know, obviously the next time we play against them, I'm anticipating a pretty exciting game as well.
What do you expect tomorrow in terms of legs after a game like this?
You know what? Our team's in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. Our team's in pretty good shape. And, you know, obviously Chicago's sitting there waiting for us. And you know, even when our legs are at our freshest, they're going to be a great challenge for us. So we just got to get back as quick as we can and get some rest and get refocused for that one. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit easier for us to prepare, you know, having a game like we did tonight, as opposed to, you know, if we came in here and had some more success. Then, so I think we've got a bit of a sour taste in our mouth, and we're anxious to get back on the ice.
Is Harding ready to go tomorrow, or can you?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about that right now, because we'll talk about it some more. I know we had a good practice today.
Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Tune in on Thursday when we'll have the post-game from the Jets versus Washington Capitals live from MTS Center. To follow Illegal Curve on Twitter, go at Illegal Curve. Follow on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. For Drew Mandel's Twitter, at ICDrew. For Richard Pollock's Twitter, at ICRichieP. For Dave Minuk's Twitter, at ICDave. For Ezra Ginsberg's Twitter, at ICEZG. And for Michael Remus's Twitter, at MRemus. That's M-R-E-M-I-S. For Mike Remus, good night and good luck.